So we're all going to be there on the night of the 9th?
Yeah.
On Wednesday night? Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I arrive Wednesday afternoon.
And there's nothing screening Wednesday night.
You have a screening Wednesday night?
No, there's nothing screening Wednesday night.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm thinking.
Right.
So maybe the
this is
cocktails
our time.
Rain down. Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
Oh my God.
We'll decide.
I'm so excited.
We'll all show up to our places and decide which one is the best, and then we'll have wine.
Mine has, I feel like mine, I don't know. Mine might win.
I think.
Maybe
oh yeah, yours is ungodly swanky. That's
but
right.
But you have to let mine and Richard hang out too.
Mine is pretty swanky too, but it's too
oh,
far
yeah?
away. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You said you were off in the boonies.
I got a pool and all that stuff.
So. You have a pool?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's like part of like a condo building, so I have access to like all the amenities and stuff.
Oh,
I
think we have access to a pool too, like a pool and a gym or whatever. But like,
are you excited about that pool you're never going to sit in? Or you never?
Oh,
gonna
I was
going to
say, there's no way I'm not going to have time to. Sit
oh
in.
No, I will because I'm a, like a pool maniac if it's nearby. So I will be getting up like an hour early to have some laps. Is basically what I'll be doing.
Wow,
nice. You're so butch.
Okay, oh, you may have guessed we're talking about Toronto. and so we're going to list...
The pool capital of North America.
So this is Nathaniel, and I'm here with Katie, Rich, Joe Reed, and Nick Davis, and we're all going to the Toronto International Film Festival. And we're all arriving right at the beginning.
First time we've all four been there together.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're in together.
Yeah. This
yeah, that's
be-
right. Yeah.
But since we know how Toronto goes and we probably won't have time to do a podcast from Toronto, we thought we would share what we're looking forward to right before we leave. So we're each going to share 5 titles. So why don't we start with Nick? Nick, give us one title you're thinking of.
In Jackson Heights, the Frederick Wiseman documentary. It's like 3 hours long. I always wind up seeing some 3 hour Frederick Wiseman documentary in Toronto, except when I see a 4 hour one. But
I was gonna say this is brisk for a Wiseman documentary. Like,
and like they keep being among my favorite things I see there. And this one's about the neighborhood in Queens that probably a lot of people will know that is celebrated often as one of the most diverse in the country. So I'm psyched. And he's a crustacean and makes really snarky comments during his Q&A. So that's, you know, worth looking forward to as well, even when he makes them
oh, yeah.
to me. But that's like, I think that's my first day, because by the end of the festival, you're not really up for the 3 hour joints. But on day one, absolutely.
Yeah.
Some of us are never bold enough for the 3 hour joints, so I salute you.
Yeah,
I will say I was.
Well, you guys can actually go to Jackson Heights whenever you want to. So
right.
To find
we could
out
spend 3 hours walking around Jackson Heights if we felt like it. Yeah. No, I remember it was last year, right, where I sort of like looked at you cockeyed for that one day where you were spending the entire day at two movies where it was just National Gallery and reminded me of what the other one
yeah,
was.
Yeah, a 4 hour one and then the long one.
Right. Yeah. But like National Gallery, which I ended up seeing at New York Film Festival, was easily one of my favorite documentaries of the year last year. And at Berkeley, like, really captivated me. That was the one where I was just like, I'm not going to spend that much time watching one movie about like people sitting in an admissions office in Berkeley. But like, God, I was fascinated by that. And these all end up airing on PBS at some point. National Gallery is on PBS. Like, the other night, starting at like 11 p.m., and I stayed up for the whole thing because
oh, wow.
it's so good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just like it just sort of like hooked. It hooks you, and you sort of fall into the rhythms of this like day to day kind of just like following people around doing their jobs. It's fascinating. It's really, really good.
Katie.
Oh, okay. So I kind of have a mercenary approach to this, where I'm just trying to see as much stuff from the upcoming fall season as possible because. That's what I need to focus on for my job. But also there's a lot of good stuff in there, even though it has movie star. And Room, guys.
Yeah.
For our favorite person, Brie Larson.
Yeah.
I'm so excited
awesome.
For this. I haven't seen Frank, so I don't really know what to expect from Lindy Abrams, the director, but I've read the book. I know Brie Larson is incredibly talented. There's so much potential in that. So I'm really excited to see how that pans out.
I was kind of annoyed by Frank, but I'm even still just like super excited to see this. I've been hearing nothing but wonderful things about the book.
Book's an easy read if you're curious. It's yeah, it's worth reading.
Okay, cool.
Joe?
So the new Charlie Kaufman joint, Anomalisa, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, which I know so little about except for that it's Charlie Kaufman's involved and it's stop motion animation, and I kind of want to go into it just that information because I feel like Kaufman is somebody who can, you know, surprise you in any circumstance, and I feel like just I'm kind of hoping to be really thrown off guard by this movie. And it's been a while since we've seen anything from Kaufman, so I feel like that's hopefully going to be one of those sort of like Toronto discoveries that people come out of that festival talking about that movie.
Yeah, and that's one of the pleasures of festivals is that you can go into movies cold like that. Like, this is all I know is the name of someone and that it's animated, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So one of mine is I know absolutely nothing about. I am one of these terribly easily manipulated people who reads the descriptions and film festival guides and thinks, that sounds interesting, when you know they try to make everything sound interesting.
Right.
So one of the movies that I'm going to see is called Closet Monster.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's on my list too. Yeah.
And I picked it solely because the little synopsis is about a teenager who wants to be a makeup artist. And he's, you know, scared of coming out to his father. And so I thought, the title is really funny because it's like both of those things at once, but it doesn't feel forced, but it's still a gimmicky title. So I just thought, I'll give it a chance. And also because I feel like I always feel the need to see at least one Canadian movie when I'm in Canada to show my respects.
Wow. That's very Canadian of you, very polite.
Yeah.
Right. Nick
I'll go again. Francophonia, which is the Alexander Sokurov who did Russian Ark, which was one of my very favorite movies of like the decade. At the whatever we call the first decade. You know what I'm saying. So this is him in an art museum again, which even though I can sit through 4-hour movies and be happy, I am one of those people who at an actual museum after an hour, I'm like, where's the bench? Where are the we have our weaknesses. But when he decides to turn on his camera and in an unbroken take go through a whole museum, I'm with it. So this is Russian Ark, but in the Louvre, one gathers. And we'll learn more in Venice when it plays in competition. But
Is this also a continuous shot?
I think so.
Hmm. Okay.
Again, we'll know more.
There's another movie. Victoria is also a celebratedly one-take movie that is at Toronto Film Festival. So
yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, interesting trend piece that is waiting there for whoever wants to take it.
And you know someone's going to credit Birdman. It's like, no, that's been around forever.
I feel like it's everyone being like, everyone has these movies in the worst. And they're like, oh, what? People got excited about Birdman? Let's see a real unbroken shot. And now they're all ready to show it up.
Yeah.
I think it's me. I have my eye on Equals, which is from Drake Doremus, who made Like Crazy, which is like a big Sundance. I was at the Sundance where I think it won the top prize. And I didn't love that movie, but I thought it had a lot going for it and did a really good job with its two leads. And Kristen Stewart and Nicholas Holt are in it together. And both of them, as we discussed in our summer podcast, are kind of on the up and up. I just saw Cold as Sils Maria and thought Kristen Stewart was so great in it. And so I'm really interested to see what she's up to. And it's like a futuristic, utopian future society kind of thing. I don't know. I don't really know what to expect from it. It could really fall on its face, but I'm interested enough in Drake Doremus to think that it has potential.
I'm excited for that one too. I'm with you in that I didn't love Like Crazy, and I think a lot of it was that the characters themselves frustrated me and not in a
they
good way.
So
but in a,
They were so stupid.
God, I just really, oh, I think that's still why I don't like Felicity Jones, because it was just sort of just, God damn it. But yeah, this seems really interesting. He does seem like, I like the young directors who don't follow up their indie hit with something exactly like their last indie hit. Like, it seems like he's going for something really different. And you're totally right about Kristen Stewart. Yeah, Kristen Stewart, I think, is such an interesting actor right now that I'm interested to see basically whatever she's doing.
Whose turn is it?
Oh, I think it's my turn.
Okay.
So this one I'm currently trying to find space in my schedule for, and I think I found it, but London Road, which is Tom Hardy and Olivia Colman in a stage musical adaptation about the Suffolk Strangler, a murderer in England in last decade, and it sounds so strange. But, like, that's exactly what I want, is something that just sounds bizarre that will hopefully, you know, take me by surprise. It's, like, I loved Olivia Colman in, like, sort of small things and in things where she's gotten big roles like Broadchurch, but, like, it's been sort of, you know, contained to Across the Pond. And of the Tom Hardy movies that are at Toronto, I will easily rank London Road higher than Legend, which Legend. Seems, yeah, which seems like showy and not maybe in the way that I'm looking for. Like Legend and Black Mass are sort of in that same bucket of like, I'm sure I'll have to see these things eventually. Where it's sort of like boys punching up boys and whatever. It's fine.
Who's next?
You are.
Oh, okay. Mine. I have one. 45 years. I know that's probably expected of me, but I really love marital dramas in general. And I thought Weekend was so great from Andrew Haig. I don't know how to say his name. Haig?
Yeah.
And I, you know, I really enjoyed his, you know, television series Looking. And I'm really excited that it's about an older heterosexual couple. So he's not, you know, he's not limited to just like the gay experience.
Why are you saying the men and heterosexuality today? You're being really weak.
And also,
you still have Charlotte Rampling. He's
that's
fine.
True. And I, when Charlotte Rampling gets like a big role for an auteur, I am generally very satisfied with her work. So I'm always excited when someone gives her a big part. So that's one of mine.
That's on my list too.
She feels nomination-bound to me. I just get that feeling. There's a lot of goodwill around her, and she's been around for a while and never nominated, and people are ga-ga about this performance, and I don't see tons of competition coming, so my fingers are crossed.
So, Nick, is it your turn?
On the last full day of the festival, I'm hopefully not only seeing all three parts of Arabian Nights, but hopefully seeing all three of them with Amir Sultani, who's another contributor to this site that we all love, and saw Taboo maybe even before any of us did, which is that fantastic Portuguese movie from a few years ago that I didn't know anything about until I think I read about it on this site, maybe even from him. I don't remember, but... But a sort of 6-hour, but split into three parts. So bathroom breaks and cokes, you know, experimental kind of carnivalesque treatment of the Arabian Nights. Can't wait.
And it also, he said cokes with an S at the end, guys. Don't worry.
Yes.
And it's also, it won the Palm Dog, right?
Maybe. I don't know.
I believe that it did.
All right. Listen
Let's
to the
all be up on our Palm Dog winners.
There's apparently one of the three segments that's largely about a dog that everybody loves. From my
Not
understanding.
Well, now it moves up my list.
Katie?
I'm thinking about The Program, which is Lance Armstrong movie. The trailer I thought was really intriguing. I think Ben Foster is really talented and goes... he can be really... poorly used or really well used, and this part seems really fascinating. And Stephen Frears, sometimes he makes great movies, sometimes he makes Tamara Drew, but Philomena was, Philomena, I think, surprised me and a lot of people in how enjoyable it was, even though it looked like total Weinstein, Oscar season crap. So I don't know, I'm intrigued by the combination of people who are going into The Program, and I think the Lance Armstrong story is totally fascinating and worthy of a movie treatment like this.
Katie, Nick and I were talking about this movie earlier, and I said basically everything that you just said as to why I'm intrigued about it, but also with the added thing that Nick and I were sort of in agreement that we find Ben Foster incredibly appealing, and I feel like him playing somebody who I hate in real life as much as I don't like Lance Armstrong will be interesting friction. Yeah,
because Ben Foster's really good at, like, you are watching and you're impressed by him, even though you're like, oh, I don't want to spend time with you.
Yep, that's his specialty.
Yeah. Well, that
I think that might be my specialty also after my years with Russell. Kind of boxing myself in there.
After your years with what?
With Russell and Sean.
Oh.
Yeah.
Joe?
Oh, okay. So, this is a little bit of a cheat, and I'm going to get through it quickly, but, like, the whole Midnight Madness and also sort of Midnight Madness adjacent, where there's a lot of sort of teen horror with a twist kind of things happening and kind of low-budget horror or, like, suspense thrillers. So, like, The Witch and Green Room and February and Final Girls, which all are sort of waiting to become the It Follows of this year, where I feel like that was a movie, and It Follows didn't premiere at Toronto, but it sort of picked up a good deal of steam after it played Toronto. I know Nick and I saw it together and were like both perched on the same armrest at the end because it was so incredibly tense and wonderful. So I'm hoping I can come out of there. I know The Witch was a huge hit at Sundance this year. People really loved it. But I'm hoping that at least one or two of those movies really jumps out and becomes It Follows or The Babadook maybe of 2015.
Was The Babadook at Toronto last year too? Is that where that all started?
No, that started somewhere else. But can't remember where that started, but what's that, Nick?
I think it screened at Sundance once, and then it did play at the Chicago Festival. Yay, Chicago!
Hey, yeah.
Midnight Madness at Toronto was also really fun. Like the atmosphere of those screenings, if you can go to the public screenings and not die, which I'm increasingly unable to, it's a fun section of the festival.
Nice.
My next one is Women He's Undressed, which is
a
documentary about Ori Kelly, who made a ton of classics like, I'm blanking all of a sudden, like Some Like It Hot and Gypsy and American in Paris. I mean, just a ton of old Hollywood classics. And the documentary is directed by Gillian Armstrong, who, you know, hasn't had much of a career of late, but she also has The Dressmaker in the festival.
Right.
Ah.
So she has two movies in the festival.
I think that's actually Jocelyn Morehouse.
Oh, sorry.
Oh. You're right, yeah. We should clarify, the movie's about Ori Kelly, a costume designer, in case anybody didn't know.
Which is hence the title.
Right. Yes.
And so I do like to see, I'm not, you know, as you all know, I'm not a big documentary junkie, but
I thought you were going to lie to us and say you weren't a big costume design person.
No, but like, I do find that with festivals, one of my tricks at least, and I don't know if anybody else shares this, is I try to like throw in things that are completely atypical of what I would normally see in the middle that it breaks up the schedule. And, you know, I feel it's kind of rejuvenating, which is why I'll usually go to one horror movie, one documentary, you know, like things like that, things I wouldn't normally see. Sort of shake me out of the complacency of just what I would normally pick, you know.
Well, and I feel like there are movies that I'm more apt to see within, like, the headspace of a festival that I maybe wouldn't get as sort of, like, worked up to go seek out when they open in limited release here, you know, in the glow of everything else. So I like to take advantage of that whenever possible. Which is why I'm seeing the Cemetery of Splendor, the new one from somebody pronounced his name correctly for me.
A pitch a pong, whereas Theracle.
Oh yeah, Joe, as people like to call him.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And before I do that, I'm going to need to see Uncle Boone, who can recall his past lives because I've never seen that. But that's another one where I'm like, it's a festival. It's, you know, I'm going to be adventurous. I'm going to expand my horizons. I'm going to see this movie by this. Everybody seems to agree to be a master of cinema. So I'm excited for that one.
Mm-hmm. That movie's part of my joint entry on this list, which is just getting able or being able to see movies by directors like him and Terrence Davies and Jafar Panahi, who made This Is Not a Film and has been under house arrest for a while, and Patricio Guzman, like these amazing auteurs whose all those movies have already shown at other festivals, not the Terrence Davies, but I don't know anything about them yet. And so just walking into a room where you know an artist that you totally trust or means something to you personally,
but haven't heard any buzz and have been able to avoid even content descriptions. I'm just psyched about that experience over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's the lineup of directors at this festival is, and I'm not sure whether it's that way every year because like they do just have so many movies, but like this year in particular, where it just seems almost Cannes-like in its the way it's sort of drawing the masters of world cinema to it. It's nice.
Katie?
I guess I'm going to bring up my one kind of outside of the Oscar season box pick, just because my colleague Richard Lawson saw it at Cannes and really liked it. Mountains Made Part from Zheng Keijia, Chinese director whose name I'm not pronouncing well. But it's like this three-generation Chinese story. One of them is set in the near-ish future, which I find really fascinating. There's a lot of things that are going to be here that were Cannes or Sundance that is not the most time-effective thing for me to do just because I'm trying to catch up with new things. But that one fits in a spot in my schedule, and I don't know enough about it to have a ton of expectations, which is kind of why I want to check it out.
Are you seeing a press screening of it or one of the public ones?
Yeah, it's a press screening on Thursday morning.
Okay, shoot.
Right before 45 years, so let's go together.
Yeah, that one right now is jockeying with the Jafar Pahlavi movie for what will be my first movie of the festival. And right now I've got Taxi in that slot, but Mountains Made Apart is tempting.
Katie, I may join you for Mountains Made Apart.
All right. Hopefully we can get to 45 years quickly after. That's the trick.
Joe, I think you're next.
Oh, am I? Okay. So Sandra Bullock in a David Gordon Green movie. Our brand is Crisis. I am always interested when Sandra Bullock sort of steps out of her comfort zone. This seems to me like a movie that could have an interesting sort of like darkly comedic tone. It's about political strategists who are working to fix a Bolivian presidential election. Billy Bob Thornton's in it. David Gordon Green, not a slam dunk as a director, but he's somebody who consistently is able to support, not consistently, but like is able to surprise me. Something like Prince Avalanche, which seemed that I wasn't going to really like it, I ended up really enjoying that movie. He's still got it. He doesn't have it all the time. I thought Manglehorn last year at TIFF was pretty well bore. But I'm excited for this one. I think it's an interesting clash of talents, perhaps, that could be rewarding.
When I go to festivals, I try to, you know, take in a lot of Scandinavian things, just because it's a general interest of mine, Scandinavian cinema. But the Norwegian entry there this year called Homesick, which is one of the finalists for their Oscar submission, I'm not that excited about, because the director previously did the submission Happy Happy, which I thought was eh.
But it's about Insta. It'll be awesome.
But the one I'm excited about this year, just at first glance, is called Girls Lost from Sweden. And it is, because it seems like it could go horribly wrong, but it could also be really interesting because it's about three teenage girls who mysteriously are transformed into boys. And I think Scandinavian films, for whatever reason, are very good at sort of adolescent drama. So I'm intrigued to see what happens there. It's based on an award-winning novel, and you know, they're comparing it to Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Ginger Snaps, both of which I love. So,
wow.
Yeah, so I'm going to go see that.
That's intriguing.
My last one is the opposite of my previous one, because it means seeing a bunch of movies by directors I mostly don't know anything about, but it's the entire Middle Eastern slate of movies at the festival. I kind of semi-blindly wandered into a couple of the movies picked by that programmer, who's called Rasha Salti, when I went for the first full time 2 years ago. And they were both among the best things I saw that entire year. And so I saw a bunch more of hers last year. And again, they were just so top, and I'm not super versed in Middle Eastern politics or social situations. I don't know any of these filmmakers, but I learned so much from the movies and from the directors, and not a single one of those movies, except for Timbuktu, because she does Africa and the Middle East, ever came out on DVD or in theaters, ever, after Toronto. So wow. It really feels wow. like a rare opportunity to see them. And as you might say about, you might think a lot of people who saw Timbuktu really loved it. Omar, a couple years ago, got an Oscar nomination. People really loved it. But it never just seems to have any coattails that distributors pick up more movies from that part of the world. And they're so different, but completely accessible. And there are thrillers, there are comedies, there are melodramas. So I'm seeing like 10 of her movies.
You'll have to send me the list of that, because I would like to join you for some of them.
Awesome.
Because I don't know what you're talking about, so I was like, okay.
I'll send you the URL, but okay. I've gotten to know her from Q&As, because I constantly ask questions and fanned out at her, and I'm going to be working with her a lot in the next couple weeks.
Cool.
You must be like a programmer's dream coming true when you become a fan of a programmer and like follow whatever they do. Like that must make their job so worthwhile.
Well, every time, you know, the tickets go on sale and you see that there's an option to, like, not pick your own movies but let the staff do it, I'm like, who in the world would do that? I want to make my own choices. But then it's become clear that I'd love this experience of having somebody like that. I would never know what to do or how to pick these kinds of films, but she's amazing.
Katie?
Okay. I don't know. I feel like I have so many. This is my last one, right?
Yep.
Okay, so picking out of a hat, Beast of the Nation, Cary Fukunaga's first movie since True Detective that has Idris Elba and, as far as I know, no other stars. I mean, a lot of people know him from True Detective, but his debut feature, Sin Nombre, was about immigrants trying to get across Mexico from, oh God, I can't remember the Latin American country they're coming from. Anyway.
It was very good, though.
Yeah, it's really good, and it's really, you know, it's taking all these, you know, not famous people and a situation that a lot of people don't know anything about, and really, I'm not even clear on the situation. Beast of No Nation is about child soldiers in an African country that I don't even know the name of, so I kind of enjoy not knowing that much, and I think a lot of people are excited to see what Cary Fukunaga does after True Detective, and yeah, I think he's a really great director. I'm excited to see what he does next.
Joe, your final one?
Final one is High Rise, which is from director Ben Wheatley, who previously did a movie called Kill List that was very surprising and interesting, and also a couple movies that I haven't seen yet, but I'm going to try and catch up with before the festival. He did A Field in England. He did Sightseers. He's sort of
He did Sightseers. I loved that.
Yeah. This like cult director in Britain, but this one has Tom Hiddleston in it and Jeremy Irons, and it's an adaptation of a novel, and it just seems like this is the kind of director that I want to sort of place myself in his hands and see how he, because like Kill List by the end is incredibly kind of like unsettling and disturbing, but in a way that I really liked. And this has elements of sort of like speculative future fiction about like class wars and things like that. And again, it's not something I know too much about going in, and I kind of like that. But it seems like of the two Tom Hiddleston movies at the festival, I am also seeing I Saw the Light, because that seems to be positioning itself
right.
as an Oscar contender, and I want to see what it's got. But this one is the one that I'm certainly more excited about.
My final one, and I have a huge list, so we'll see what I actually see. But my final one is called Ava Doesn't Sleep.
Ooh, yeah, I'm seeing that too.
And that is from Pablo Aguero. But it stars Gabriel Garcia Bernal, and the plot is about the transport of the embalmed body of Eva Perón. And so I just, like, from a story perspective, I just thought, how interesting, and also that, you know, I love Gael Garcia Bernal, and Argentinian cinema seems to be well-respected, but I haven't seen a lot of it, and so I need to, you know, see more.
And I just think it's such a casting coup that they got Patti LuPone to play the corpse of Eva Perón. That's really going to be something to see. Sorry, go on.
That's it. I tend to pick very sort of probably less methodically than it sounds like you guys do, but I enjoy not really knowing what I'm getting into.
That's fun.
And since there are so many offerings, I feel like whatever you pick, you're going to be like, oh, I didn't get to see this. So, right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
there's just too much. There's just way too much to be able to for any one person to see.
Yeah. I hope I get to do that a couple of times. I'm trying to be very practical about my choices, but I do think it's a shame to go to a film festival and not walk into something being like, oh, okay, let's see.
Yeah, I
feel
that.
Like the four of us are on an interesting spectrum in terms of our obligations versus what we can see just for us. And it'll be interesting to see how the four of us sort of end up navigating it.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to go to some of the stuff I tell myself I'm not going to go to because I know I will have immediate access. But then I get impatient while I'm there, like the Oscar stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So. Yeah, I'm really trying not to see Sicario because it's coming out like a week later, but we'll see if I can resist.
Yeah. Nick, do you have a final one?
The Middle Eastern stuff was my last one,
oh,
I think.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Well, so that's, and this is just we each gave five, but this is just a tiny sampling. There are hundreds of movies, literally.
Yeah.
So it's always a sort of adventure. Pick your own adventure, as you will.
Yeah, my short list is 80-something movies, so.
Oh my God.
I know. And I somehow managed to, like, scratch out a schedule that is still, like, 35 movies. I will die if I do, like, the full schedule that I have plotted out for myself. So, like, Lord knows.
Yeah, that's always the funny thing is which you and things you thought, oh, I'll never skip that, and you get so tired one day, you're like, okay, bye.
Yeah. I will sleep rather than see literally any movie at some point.
Okay, well, thanks for tuning in. And once we're back from Toronto, we will surely have like a powwow about our experiences there.
Yeah.
But if you're following, if you're lucky enough to go, please do share with us the ones you're excited about. And we'll talk to you when we return. Thanks, everyone.